following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
Okay, we are working hard this summer at walking through a number of the Psalms. And so there is a reading program that's in your program that you can follow along with us and just read through the Psalms this summer. But I'm going to start this morning with Psalm 13. I'm going to ask you that if you would join with me and just stand, if you would. Stand with me once again, okay? And the setting for this psalm is just simply this. If you remember the story of Saul and David, David was anointed to be king. Saul was the incumbent. Saul got very, very jealous of this guy by the name of David because the people would sing in these parades, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so Saul became very jealous of David. And Saul began to literally chase David down in an attempt to try to kill him. Psalm 13 was written by David as a result of Saul chasing him down, trying to find him, and literally trying to kill him. David wrote this psalm. Okay, Psalm 13, would you please read it with me? Okay, if you have it in your Bibles, this will be from the New International Version. So it's on the screen, I hope. Yep, okay, join with me. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. What an amazing psalm. Father, add your blessings right now as we continue on and look at this great psalm and evaluate it and apply it to our lives, I pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five and say you can be seated. All right. Here's my picture of this psalm. I'm going to act some things out here this morning, so follow with me, and because this is the way this psalm impresses me. The first two verses, what I call it, are verses of protest. And I picture the psalmist David here. And you have to follow pictorially with me. I picture David lying flat on his face, and he's saying this. Notice his protests. Will you forget me? I don't know if they had urgent care centers in those days, but have you ever felt like you've been in, God, have you forgotten me? Have you ever forgotten when you put your name in an urgent care or a doctor's office and you wonder how long am I going to have to wait here? Okay? And you say, excuse me, is my name on the waiting list? Am I? Because you've had to wait so long. This is what David was saying. Would you forget me? Will you forget me? The length of this wait was almost unbearable to him. The second thing he protests, God, will you hide your face from me? You ever felt like that? You ever felt like, have you ever said this? You know what? My prayers are not even going any higher than the ceiling. You ever felt like that? That's what David was saying here. By the way, let me throw in a little note there. How high do our prayers have to go? Just want to throw that out to you, okay? Are you guys out there? All right, okay, just want to make sure. Throughout the Bible, the word hiding my face or shining of God's face was a sign of God's favor and blessing. But David was saying here, excuse me, God, while he's on the floor, excuse me, God, I'm right here. Have you ever had seen the picture a little bit of a crowd and somebody is doing some selection process out there and they're trying to pick some people and there's a little boy in the front row going, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me, right? And everyone else but him is being picked. That's what David is kind of saying here. God, have you forgotten me? Why are you hiding your face of favor? Why are you not picking me? Why are you not helping me here? And the third thing he says is, will I wrestle with my thoughts that bring me sorrow? Does that sound familiar? How many of us, when we left alone with our thoughts, when we are left alone with our thoughts, where do our thoughts go? They do not go positive. Majority of times when we are left alone with our thoughts, they only go but one way, and that's called downhill. See, when God is hidden, I begin to despair. Ever lay in bed at night and you can't sleep because you have so much stuff going on? Ever lay in bed and you just think, okay, I've got to get up and I've got to go do this. What am I going to do about that? What am I going to handle the kids? What about my pet? I've got to take him to the vet. Oh my, what about? And you worry and you think. You see, left alone with your thoughts, what happens to you? Okay, it's like the second law of thermodynamics. Anything left by itself will not get better. Okay? In the same way, we left with our thoughts, it's not going to get any better. Typically, we will go downhill with our vain imaginations, our worry, and our stress. Are you with me this morning? Okay. The fourth thing David protests while still on the floor is, will I allow my enemies to defeat me? And he says, you know, it's like, notice where the attention is. The attention here is on me, me, me. It's all about me, my enemies, my defeat. I'm going to look bad. Okay? He's protesting. God, I'm going to look bad. Look at all these things that's happening. Anger, anxiety, and stress always deepens despair. Did you get that? Anxiety and stress always deepens despair, and that's where he finally gets. Now, let's look at the next two verses. I believe David moves from being prostrate on the ground with these protests, and he moves back up and he gets up to his knees, or maybe he doesn't stand up yet, but I think he gets maybe to the point of, oh, okay. And then he begins from that position of being prostrate, he moves up and he takes on a place of petition. Notice his two primary petitions here. Number one, he says, oh God, give light to my eyes. I think it's interesting that whenever we go through times of anxiety and stress, our focus changes. We do not see things reality. We do not see things the way they are. We begin, our vision gets cloudy. We begin to say things like, I just can't see this ever working out. What happens? Our vision gets cloudy. What does David pray here? Give light to my eyes. Restore my vision. Once again, he gets up to his knees in the light of, oh, long, how God, how long will you forget me? How long will I continue to cry out to you before you come and help me? How much longer is this going to last, God? He says, wait a minute. God, would you please give light to my eyes? Help me to see this situation clearly. And then he says, don't let me defeat it so that my enemies rejoice. And he says, help me be victorious. So he moves from protesting to a place of petition. Oh God, would you open my eyes here? Oh God, would you help me so that I won't be defeated? God, would you help me be victorious during this time? And the last two verses I see him moving again. Follow the picture here. I see him laying on the ground the first two verses. I see him get up to his knees in the next two verses. And the last two verses I see him standing up. Are you with me? I see him just kind of move, because look what he says. Finally, his last step, he says, I will trust in your unfailing love. So he moves from how long will you abandon me to, oh God, would you give sight to my eyes? Would you help me to see this? Would you come to my aid? I need you. He moves, then he says, I trust in your unfailing love. I rejoice in my head. I will sing to the Lord. Look at the progress there. He goes from, oh God, to what? You see, I trust in your unfailing love. This is the kind of a love of a parent to a child. It's never-ending. Regardless of the behavior of the child, it's a covenantal, like a God to Israel type of a love. That's an unfailing love. God, I will trust. I know your love is unfailing. I'm going to put my trust. How many of you guys I talked about it a couple of weeks. It seems like everything in my life right now, I don't know about yours, is coming back to one thing. Bill, do you trust me? It seems like everything has happened. There's been a bunch of stuff go on in me, and well, we'll talk about it more in a moment, but it seems like it comes back to trust, and I see David doing the exact same thing. God, I don't understand, but God, I need your help. Finally, God, I trust in your unfailing love. God, I will rejoice in my heart. The very seat of my emotions, I'm going to turn those, and I'm going to begin to rejoice in those, and I'm going to the ultimate results is I'm going to just start singing to you. You see that picture? My protests lead me to pray, which leads me to praise. And I love this little thought. How often, church, do we get stuck on protests? How many times do we get stuck on, oh God, where are you? Oh God, my prayers. Oh God, you have abandoned. Oh God, you have left. How many times do we get stuck there? But finally, the last thing I see David going from the floor to his knees to standing, I see the very last phrase, and this one kind of excites me. And if you get excited here, it's okay, all right? Is that okay? Good. I see him going from the floor to his knees to standing to to finally saying, oh God, you have dealt bountifully with me. You've been so good. Well, can I do this one more time? He goes from, oh God, where are you? To God, would you just open my eyes? To God, I rejoice in you and I thank you for who you are. To, oh God, you've been good to me. There, finally, yeah. Notice the progression. But isn't that something that you and I must do every moment of every day? Isn't that where we need to get to? Let my heart begin to rejoice. Let me begin to sing. Let me begin to trust in his unfailing love. Why? Because his love will never let us down. So we need to trust in it. Are you with me? So all of a sudden, we have to turn that around. And I'm going to talk about that more in a moment. But once again, he goes from, oh God, where are you? To, oh God, I need you. To, oh God, you're awesome. To, oh God, you're good to me. Wow. Are you with me this morning? Think about it. So here's four closing thoughts this morning as I get through doing all these burpees up here. Good thing I'm halfway in shape. I had noticed halfway. But anyhow, four closing quick thoughts with you. Number one, honesty is always the best policy. What do I mean by that? Have you guys ever read the Psalms, and as we go through them this summer, and as you read through them this summer with us, you'll realize David was amazingly honest with God, wasn't he? I mean, sometimes almost like painfully. How long? My soul is downcast. Will you just abandon me to the grave? He says, God, I just pour out my heart to you. Are you there? He says that in a number of the Psalms. He is painfully honest with God. Have you ever heard that phrase, cheaters never prosper? I've got a new one I want to throw out to you this morning. Hiders never prosper either. To hide my feelings from God, to hide my emotions, to hide my thoughts, to hide my hurts, to hide my disappointments, you will never prosper in God's eyes until you're finally available to open yourself up and say, God, here. See, when I'm honest with God, that's when I fully petition him for his help in my life. That's when I'm honest. The other morning I was walking right here, and I come in the mornings, and this is kind of where I spend my private time with the Lord, and I was walking, and if you pardon my honesty here, I was walking, and I got about here, and I said, God, I have so many emotions running through me right now. I feel like I'm a little bit of a basket case. I said, I feel this, and I feel this, and I'm frustrated with this, and I'm hurt with that, and I just got so many emotions. How do I sort them all out? And you know what he said to me? Just sit down and I'll take care of them for you. But he couldn't take care of them for me until I was honest with him and said, here they are. And so I began to say, God, what am I going to do about this? And it was like the Holy Spirit said, do this. Take care of it this way and do this. And in some areas, he didn't give me the answer, but listen, he gave me a peace. It's going to be okay. Where did it start? It started with honesty is the best policy before God. He is able to make all grace abound to me only after I'm honest with him. He's able to, why, how do we cast our cares upon him if we're never honest with him? You see, those have to be shared. Little phrase, let me throw out to you this morning. Our time of need is his time of mercy. When you need him the most, he will always be there with his mercy. But honesty is the best policy. Secondly, I want you to remember with me this morning, as we see in this psalm, that let us remember, always remember this, let us remember, church, the reality of the battle. The battle is real out there, isn't it? We can never underestimate the battle of the flesh versus the spirit. You see, I don't know about you guys, but we're not totally sanctified yet. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're not perfect yet. How come the wife's laughed right there? Especially you. Never mind. You know, we're not perfect yet, are we? There are things about us, and the battle is real, isn't it, of the flesh versus the spirit. It's very much so, because a little bit of that flesh is always there for us. While we're trying to do our best to bring heaven to earth and bring the presence of God wherever we go, while we're trying to do our best to do that, the flesh still brings its ugly head in there every once in a while. Anybody experience that? We have to understand the reality of the battle here. There are still these issues that happen on earth. We can never underestimate the reality of the plan of the enemy here to steal, kill, and destroy. And every one of us know in here this morning, and we will gladly say, yep. How many of you know God has a plan for your life? Yeah, baby. And we will say, yeah, God has a plan. Can I just put the other side of the coin to this? So does the enemy. Okay? We have to understand that. His plan is John chapter 10, verse 10, very, very simple, and it says this. He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal our joy, kill our dreams, and destroy our lives. If those begin to happen in our lives, if those things, our joy, our peace, begin, our dreams, our hopes, if those things begin to happen and our life seems to begin to destroy, guess what? You can simply say, the devil is at work and I need to come against him. It's called spiritual warfare. Okay? We don't hear a lot about that anymore. We need to talk about it once in a while because the battle is real. Amen? The battle is real. It really is. We don't have to never underestimate that. The battle is real. The tension is real between the spirit and the flesh. And we have to have a reality of that. You see, the more one desires to walk with God, the greater the tension that exists. The more I say, I mean, how many of you guys have witnessed it? You said, okay, I'm going to fast the next 3 days. What happens? Someone invites you to a barbecue where there's brisket and ribs. How real is that battle? Or you say, wait a minute, I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to begin giving a tenth of my income to the Lord. The next day, your transmission goes out in your car. Reality, the battle, it's there. Okay? Whenever we begin to walk with God and make a decision to greater our commitment to Him, it seems like the greater the tension. Let's look at number three. The solution is simple. And this is where I think it gets kind of exciting. The solution is simple. As anxiety and sorrow deepens despair, prayer and praise awakens hope. And grab a hold of that this morning, church, every one of us here. As anxiety and sorrow deepens despair, prayer and praise awakens hope. I have to learn how to exchange my cry of despair for a cry of praise. I believe, church, right here is where the rubber meets the road. Right here is where life really takes on a new meaning with Christ. So I learn how to take my protests and turn them to praise. I believe if we can grab a hold of this principle, guys, I really do. I believe with all my heart. If we can grab a hold of this, it will change our lives. It will change our outlook. It will change the bounce in our step if we can learn how to do this. I believe not only will it change our life, it will at least get us through till next Sunday. Okay? I believe so. The answer is this. And you see it with David. I will trust. Say it with me. I will trust. I will trust in you, God. You've heard me. Here it comes again, guys. Crazy song by Lauren Daigle. How many of you guys have heard that? I will trust in you. If you haven't, put it on your phone. Go home and put it on YouTube or something and just listen to that song. It just simply says, when you don't do this, when you don't do this, when this doesn't happen, when this doesn't happen, I will trust in you. I believe here's something that can change our lives. If we just learn whenever something happens and we're pushed up against the wall, we just simply say, God, I'm going to trust you here. Secondly, he says, I will rejoice. I'm just going to rejoice in you. I'm just going to, regardless of the circumstances, the waves that are over here, the bills that are over here, the medical payments or the medical reports that are over here, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rejoice in you. In my heart, my seat of my beings, I'm going to rejoice in you. And thirdly, he says, I'm just going to sing. Now, some of you should not be singing out loud. But if you're by yourself in the shower or in the car, feel free to sing all you want. Turn to the person next to you and say, he just talked about you. But anyhow, all right? I'm just saying this. Here's the deal. We must make the conscious decision to turn. I believe that's what David did. Do you see the picture? I believe he made a conscious effort to turn. Turn doubt into trust. Turn despair into hope. Turn despondency into thankfulness. Turn protest into praise. When we do that, Isaiah tells us he will give me oil of joy for mourning. He will give me beauty for ashes. He will give me garments of praise for my spirit of heaviness. He will turn my mourning into dancing. No, I'm not going to. But are you with me? That's what he will do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come as we close here this morning. And I want you to see this so closely here. What ends up? What's the final point here? The conclusion becomes clear. When we are prostrate and we're saying, God, where in the world are you today? God, why aren't you taking care of this? God, why are my prayers never getting above the ceiling? Have you abandoned me? Why am I had to wait so long to hear from you? You all of a sudden you'd be, okay, God, I just really need you to help me, God. I need you to be my strength. I need you to be my joy. I need you to be my hope. I really, really need you right now, God. And oh, wait a minute, God. Oh, man, I look back at the past and I see, God, how you helped me with that situation with my family. Well, I see you now, God, where you helped me with that situation with my job. Wow, God, I see how you really touched my health. Not, wait a minute. Oh, you've been so, wow, God, you've dealt bountifully with me. What a natural result when we turn our protests into praise. We begin to realize how good our God is. What a great and awesome God we have.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.